time to stop buying
Randy. The power is gonna restore 15 to 20 million Jedi. I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM Radio, serving the Philadelphia and the tri-state area on the radio. However, no matter where you live, you can log on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And with so many new ways to access the broadcast, we are now able to go on podcasts. You can go on your iPhone and just say, Siri, play American Workers Radio, and it comes up. It's many new things, and we'll be advertising more and more of those things as they become perfected. But we're all part of the national scene at this time. I ask that you let family members and friends know about our broadcast today, because we are going to be talking about some very interesting ideas. And of course, my thanks to Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store. And I'd like to remind all of you that his link is right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Not only is his link to his store there, you can also listen to Mark's Saturday broadcast. It's the link right under his logo. Also with us is Larkin Conley, the National Small Business Advocate, and Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was really very good to hear so many people offering good feelings about the late panel member, Curtis Ellis. He certainly will be missed. And I did email last week's broadcast to Curtis's Maxine and also to Curtis's friends, and they certainly appreciated all the good thoughts that we offered him. Maxine tells me that there will be a memorial service, and I will keep our panel members abreast to that when I get that notice. But because of COVID, any big things in New York had to really be downsized. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today we are 1 year into the coronavirus, which spread through the United States. And people certainly agreed, by the way, with Mark Andel, who said, we want to know where it came from. Where did it come from first? How long is the virus going to be around? Who told us what was happening? Who gave us a warning? In this case, the people want to know exactly what country was supposed to inform the world, as well as all of us in America, that this was going to happen to us. We all have been concerned about the virus because it really killed our people in America, destroyed our businesses, hurt our workers, not only during the last year, but a lot that's going to continue until we get back to normal. And when I say normal to people, they say, Michael, what do you think normal is? I said, well, it is getting back to pre-coronavirus situations here in the United States. Normal means not 50% or 75% or even 90%. It means being back to normal, where we can go out and do what we normally did, to enjoy our life, to make a living, to be with friends. All the masks and social distancing, that now the vaccine still has not allowed us to know what will happen in the future. And that's something I find very disappointing. We shouldn't have to go to a fortune teller to tell us what she or he thinks about things going to happen in the future. Families, businesses, our fellow workers, America's school children, seniors, travelers, all need to know what could happen in the future and how best to protect ourselves. Here we are, 1 year later. And if I asked you the million-dollar question, what is going to help you, besides the vaccine, become more protected against this virus? I don't know exactly what the answers would be. I do ask a lot of professional people, people who are nurses and doctors and all sorts of associates in hospitals, and they say, nothing is really known. Now, here we are 1 year today. Now, you can't, just like Mark, you're a perfect example. You saw for yourself, you can't stop and stand still for a long time and think that everything is going to be normal once this thing is over. It's not. Livelihoods were destroyed, and it's going to continue unless there is a solution. Schools need to be fully open. It can't continue. This is a national issue that should be addressed on television every day. And I mentioned that to a teacher, and they said, what station would cover it every day? And I said, how about C-SPAN? That's an independent station. Everybody who has cable and all can access it all over the USA. It should not be just a cat-in-the-bag issue. State by state is doing whatever they feel is best. And every family in America should really be promoting schools opening on C-SPAN. There's no excuse. If it's on there, family members can be said to ask to tune in and said, well, tell the whole family, tell your friends, let's get this thing discussed so we know what is going on. So with that in mind, I'm going to turn first to Mark Andel, and I'm going to ask you, Mark, what has been happening in the situation where you are, and what do you see happening in the United States for American workers?
Hi, good morning, Mike, Larkin, Rich, and Henry. Mike, good opening. You know, a lot going on, and I want to just first touch on, this is almost a year exactly since the China flu pandemic started. It was Friday the 13th, March last year. I was trying to go on my first cruise. Sister worked for me for 30 years, and we never got an opportunity to go on vacation together. Well, that cruise got canceled that night. I got to Florida, Cape Canaveral, and then everything started to dissolve. I tried to go to the Clearwater side, and then we shot back home because businesses were closing, and what a mess. But it has been 1 year, Mike, and like you said, it's really changed our lives. And again, I want to know where, who, why, and how this came from. And I want to give our past president a big applause, because if he didn't shut them borders off in them 30 countries as quick as he did, it would have probably wiped our country out, to be honest with you. So a lot of, a lot going on there, a lot of talk in our area that this 1 year we've been living this way, and life has changed. And, Mike, I want to talk about business a little bit. Made in America stores are strong. We had a tough winter, 8-10 weeks of cold snow. We might hit 66 degrees here in Buffalo today. So, Lark nice. And Rich, it's not close. It's probably your low at night, but we're getting there, But, Made in America stores stayed strong through that. Dependency on China, absolutely known. People are doing their part. They're shopping. Our sales are up. Even though we've lost the bus sales, the fairs, our trade shows, our events, we still manage to adjust daily, and that's what entrepreneurs do. And, a lot of that virus that China flu tried to take away, our drive, our can-do spirits, and, but people are popping, and we don't quit. But, Mike, one thing with these supply chain problems, this kind of instant inflation, if you would, what we talked about in the past, steel prices going up 30-40%, not talked about on TV, aluminum, double. Plastics and your glass and your wood, your 2x4s, a home that was quoted in November, the same home quoted now is $20,000 more in the wood package. These are all facts, and I've been following it quite a bit and talking to a lot of CEOs on our other show, Mike. And I had a great guy on yesterday, Bob Confer. He owns Confer Plastics up in Tonawanda here, not too far from us, in West New York. Has about 250 employees. He makes the kayaks, kayaks and pool products, ladders, your plastic tables and things like that. So he's got another bubble, Mike. This is interesting. All polyethylene, most of it comes from the Texas area in the United States and even possibly world. But polyethylene, your small granule plastic that is what everything starts for, you melt it down, injection molding. A lot of our plastic products, from the bag Lysol wraps are in to, you know, plastics and everything. Well, when that deep freeze hit Texas a few weeks ago, they didn't have no warning, these plants that make the polyethylene. They had no warning at all, so they just shut the power off. And I worked at a PVC plant, Buff Tech, and was a mill right there. And what happens is all that plastic in the lines and the mixers freezes up, locks up, and that plant's done. So Bob Confort, that owns Confort Plastics, he's already down to 33% his 250 employees he had to lay off. He has none of this resin, this polyethylene resin. So this deep freeze in Texas, the grid going down, but the automatic shutoff really affected him. And he was on yesterday, Mike. And, you got a bubble with the pandemic, all this slowdowns and everything it's caused. And now you got another bubble and a bubble. But this plastic, give you an idea, plastic was 30 cents a pound, you know, before this deep freeze. Now it's over a dollar a pound, plus you just can't get it. And he had railroad trucks and cars and silos held for him, but they use it for other products, which probably rightfully so, maybe in, the grocery or whatever business, they needed that plastic more than he did because he wasn't essential. But this is a huge problem. In a problem, but this plastic shortage is going to show up. So if you're making wraps, that you can't put it in a bag because the bag's made out of the plastic. So here we got another bubble, and again, this supply chain shortage, this rapid inflation, now this deep freeze in Texas, how it's affected us quite a bit, Mike. So, just trying to keep you on the edge of what's going on.
Mark, I want to ask you, this supply chain shortage, how exactly did that happen?
Yeah, so originally, a pandemic hits, you got layoffs, you got plants closing, you got people afraid, scared, fearing to go to work. So all these bubbles, if Ford was closed for 3 months, wood plants closed, and then when they open, they can't get workers back, they're giving out free money. All this created a bubble, 3-4 month bubble, where there was no real production. And then when they went back to production, you can't make up manufacturing loss. So you get a 3-4 month window. You can't make that back. You could have the demand there, like my friend Bob Confort here has the demand. People are staying at home, and they want the products. But now he has no material to make his product. So, it's frustrating. He's going forward. But that's what happened, Mike. The COVID China flu here created this 3-4 month shutdown. And then you can't get people back because they're giving out unemployment plus 600. Now they're giving unemployment plus 400. To try to find workers to get back to even some type of a norm is very difficult. But then you get a supply shortage. You can't get your components that you make your product with. Now you got another problem and a problem.
You are so right. I'm telling you, Mark, you've done such enormous work just keeping your head above water through this thing. First of all, 10 years you had the difficulty with China taking a lot of your business, then this pandemic hits. And I can see by the many people that we have on our mailing lists and people that even support some of our human services, a lot of the businesses are going to have a lot of problems reopening. You can't just
We're talking years to recover, Mike.
Right. You just can't shut down something and stand still for 6-8 months. The 2 days before the St. Patrick's Day parade in Philadelphia last year, it had to be canceled because of the concerns and of the virus. And all my friends, we all go to the St. Patrick's parade. They come to the Polish parade. So we all keep each other even. Here we are 1 year later, and the St. Patrick's Day parade had to be canceled again, although we will have highlights of it on our TV station 29 this Sunday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon. And anybody who's in that Fox 29 broadcast area or their Facebook site can get on there and see the highlights of the parade. But highlights are not the parade. It's not bringing the people out. It's not bringing the joy, the events surrounding getting ready for all these parades. 4th of July is still up in the air. All these events are up in the air over what? And what's really disappointing, we don't want to talk about where the virus originated. You know, somebody called me down. That's why I haven't been saying it too much, but, you know, it's hard to call me down. They said, Michael, every week you came on, the coronavirus that originated in China. And of course, many companies that have major investments in China didn't like it. Some of them were owned by even politicians. So I said to them, I don't care, and I really don't care, if you're a Democrat or a Republican, start really being for America. Act like an American. Be an American, not just for yourself. This is nonsense.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's okay to be an American already. Let's let it go.
And,
you know, don't stop catering. And by the way, as time goes on, more and more people better start speaking out, because these overseas nations have been supporting the politicians, all their campaigns. The money just nicely went into their bank accounts. So they're not going to complain about any country, China or anybody else, that's giving them money to keep their mouth shut. They're just going to say, well, do we really know? Do we really know? Well, here we are a year later. Do we really know? If you had an accident, you would really want to know on the spot what was the story. Well, you don't know anything 1 year later, other than walk with a mask, keep your mouth shut around people so no droplets fly out, and walk, you know, almost in a subhuman state if somebody else is walking down the street so you don't pick up a droplet from them, even though you have masks. Listening to this stuff on TV is maddening. How about I turn for a few minutes to Rich Loges, who will be with us here till 11:30 today. Rich, tell us everything.
Hi, Michael. Good morning to everyone. Mark, good morning. And
good morning.
I've got some money, Mark, to spend at the Made in America store, so we'll talk about that later on. But I'm interested in this free money that you mentioned a few minutes ago.
I'm not getting it, Rich, but it's out there.
You said something about free money.
nothing's
that
free.
Free money. Is that free money going to – I'm just wondering how we're going to work that all out, because I sit here and wonder, Mark, what's going to happen when that money printing machine eventually is junk. It's like our old – remember all of us had our first car, and eventually it got to the point where the mechanic told us, listen, it's not worth fixing it anymore, Mark, right? And we were very heartbroken over it, because it was our first car and we didn't want to really give it up. But the mechanic said, it's irreparable. You got to junk it. What's going to happen when our money printing machine, that happens? I guess we'll call China, you know, maybe we'll just call some third and fourth world countries, right? And that's what happens, Mark, when lots of different demographics have lots of different competing interests. And so right now, what you don't generally hear about, not to say it doesn't exist at all or it's not spoken about at all, what you don't hear a lot about on most of the media networks, which a lot of people don't realize, Mark, are actually still the newspapers. The prominent American newspapers are actually very much the drivers of the political narratives. What a lot of people aren't hearing about is this rush at the border where people are illegally entering, or in some cases being apprehended, coming with COVID. And we know that they're infected at the border. So I sit back and I just ask myself, you know, I'd like to know what all the Biden-voting grandmas and grandpas think about that. Do they think that they're trying to be murdered by Biden with COVID, the way that they were conditioned like Pavlovian dogs to believe that the last guy was trying to murder them? All the free money, that's fine. See, it's okay, Mark. Just pass the bill on to the next generation, because if you're – as long as, for example, you have your – you've got your COVID checks coming and your Medicare and your Social Security and the early bird specials are still on schedule, it's okay to pass the bill down, right, Mark? So – that's what happens with a lot of different competing interests. So I would defer to Larkin on my question to ask, how has everything been going in the country since January 20? I mean, what do you think, Mark? Larkin, what do you think? How's everything been going since January 20? You feel like we're on, I mean, it's early, right? Are we on the up and up? I mean, I'll ask Larkin, because Larkin is our, he's going to be our diplomat for the first 100 days here, so I defer to him on this.
And by the way, it's the 50th day today of the new administration.
That's right.
Yes, Larkin. Diplomat
well, if
Larkin.
The if the second 50 are like the first 50, I'm going to feel like pretty much a fool for standing around. You know, I watched really depressed. I really watched yesterday the President of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, being led around by a young press lady from their office saying, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Somebody would ask him a question, and he'd turn around, and the girl would go, come on, let's go. And he was like turning around in a circle like he was completely lost. I am so frightened for this guy. I can't even begin to tell you. When I think about the XL pipeline, when I think about what he's allowed to let happen at our southern borders, and for what reason, it's just so far beyond me. And that's the first 50 days. I hope you. Well, that's not right to say. I pray every day that he sees the next morning. I really do. I wouldn't wish an ill on anybody, but I'm telling you, this man is not clicking on all six cylinders. He is not. And I watched yesterday independently with my wife his Defense Department speech where he elevated the two generals to four-star generals, and he genuinely could not remember the name of his Secretary of Defense. And I was sitting there going to my wife, this is scary. This is frightening. This really, really, really is frightening. But all that being said, the important question that had been brought up by my two brothers earlier in the program is the supply chain. I've been talking about the supply chain for a long time. I watched it deteriorate. We all watched it deteriorate as these jobs went east to Taiwan and China and Japan and wherever they all ended up. And it absolutely befuddled and destroyed our own supply chain. You know, when if Mark were to sell a toaster, he probably would have to make contact with no less than four or five suppliers to give him the parts and pieces and electronics and cabinetry that he needs to sell that to manufacture. I use that word loosely, but that's what they do to manufacture that toaster. And we have now gotten it to a point that probably four out of five suppliers that he would use are now under complete and total distress. They are scrambling is what they are doing. And if they're even still working, this is the most important situation or circumstance in this country. It's not opening restaurants, and it is opening restaurants. Listen to me very carefully. It is about opening restaurants and brick and mortar and gift shops and flower shops and getting them all open. But the deep wound here is the fact that our infrastructure has been destroyed. COVID put another stake in its heart, and we're really in a very, very bad way. Very, very bad way. And once we get over the barrel, it's going to be to a point that our suppliers, which will all be offshore, are going to start dictating to us what the prices are going to be. And our mills, our fabricators, our welders just are not going to be able to sustain themselves or to even return. I mean, it's very, very sad, but it has been coming on for a good 8 years, I'd say 10 years maybe, that our supply chain has been just terribly affected and really knocked in the keister, knocked on its butt, so to speak.
You know, Larkin, I want to add something to what you're saying is, on Thursday, March the 4th, an article was published here in the Philadelphia Inquirer stating that Walmart is now going to invest an additional $350 billion over the next 10 years to have American-made products be more available in their stores. Now, the products would cover a wide range of items like textiles, plastics, small electronics, pharmaceuticals, and medical supplies. They were all announced accordingly in the paper. Now, John Furner, who is the CEO at Walmart, said that the United States manufacturing really, really matters, and that we all agree with President Biden's pledge to prioritize domestic production, and he ordered government agencies to buy more Americans. So I looked it up. Now, if you remember, gentlemen, we were all on this broadcast in 2013. CEO of Walmart at that time said they were going to invest $250 billion into more American-made products, because at that time, Walmart suppliers made up 98% of what was available in their stores. So, based upon the 250 from 2013 and the 350 that was just announced on March the 4th, that would bring up the products available in Walmart to 5%. 5% over a period of the next 10 years. Now, the people on our local radio talk stations discussed it. And of course, their thinking is, well, that's the best they could do. And unfortunately, that is true. And that's the best they could do, Larkin. It's true. Because so many of our companies had to pick up and move overseas because they were being overtaxed, overregulated, and all the other things that go in there to make you run away. Mark, you know it better than anybody.
Yeah, and let's not let Walmart off the hook. They caused a lot of this China Mart. It's not really Walmart.
Absolutely.
You know, and they tied with China, a lot of it. So they take a good person, myself, or a good invention. They steal it. They steal the intellectual properties. Within 5 years, they dumped you, the inventor, the hardworking American, and they've ran overseas to have that product made at pennies cost. And I've got so many studies on that, books, Mike. Don't let them off. As soon as I hear Walmart's $350 billion invested, not that it's fake news, they caused a lot of the problems.
They are. In 30 years, Walmart has caused a major...
Not a Walmart fan, not a China fan.
Oh, no. Walmart has caused one of the biggest demises in America.
Yeah, don't let them put a smoke screen.
Oh, no. That's a smoke screen. It sounded like people said, wow, $350 billion. I thought, what's that? That's a penny. That's a day's sales in Walmarts across the USA. Another little discussion I had. Larkin, you're going to like this a lot. I had a discussion with somebody the other day, and they were furious with me. In fact, it was an Amazon deliver truck.
Keep it fired up, Mike.
Okay, here's the story. This is what happened. I said to him, he came to make a delivery, not to me, but to a neighbor. And I said, oh, that's a nice truck. It's some kind of a special cargo van. He said, yes, it is. And I said to him, I would like it if it was made in America. And he said, well, it's not. I said, so the bottom line is Amazon is delivering in a foreign-made van all foreign-made items.
Yeah.
So the only person benefiting is yourself as the driver and deliverer, and the people you know, who are in the investment side. So this is another thing.
Yeah, money is their god, Mike.
Money is their god. And you know what else is very interesting? Yes, the Walton family owns the Walmarts and all, but 95% of what is in there is on consignment from foreign countries. There's nothing in there that they had to buy way in advance.
Are you talking about what's in Amazon?
No, what is in any of these big major stores? Those stores, those people in foreign countries, because I deal with some particular country, they will send it to you on consignment. They will send it to you on consignment for 3 months. As long as you build up a history of doing business with them. And then they expect their payment in 90 days, which is very common. But in some of these big, big stores, this is what happens. They order, they restock, and in 90 or 120 days, they have to pay. Wouldn't that be nice if we could do that with American dealers in America here? Well, I would like to see more of those products in the store be available for consignment to Walmart so that Walmart doesn't have to invest so much money and have to pay it immediately upon delivery, but be able to pay for 120 days. But in America, it's different. It's credit, it's interest, it's everything else. These foreign places like China, the government owns all the businesses. The government runs how this stuff comes to America. There's no interest or problems like that. Walmart needs it or any other company needs it, no problem. Yes.
That's just another way of having commerce. Listen, we all know that free enterprise and the system that we have in America is the worst system in the world. The worst.
How are we going to change it?
Except for every other system in the world. So we are the best, but we are not without our problems and not without our issues. Listen, Walmart is just, they're no different. Well, they are in some ways, but they're really no different than the Made in America stores. I know that you negotiate terms. That's just the way it works, and I can't believe that Mark doesn't say to some of the people that supply him, you know, what are the terms of payment here? You know, when do I owe you? Is Walmart getting preferred treatment? Yeah, I think to a degree. But if I, as a supplier anywhere on the planet, am talking to the largest retailer in the universe, when I sell Mark T-shirts, I sell them dozens at a time. Maybe even more than that. When I sell T-shirts to Walmart, I sell them to Walmart millions at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't blame free enterprise or the system for allowing Walmart to go out there and take advantage of the situation. Am I a Walmart fan? No.
But Larkin, here is what I want to say. That's very true. Negotiating at 50,000 as opposed to 5,000. But there's only one big difference in this whole process. The product that's coming from a foreign country is one-fifth of what it would cost from an American. So we're allowing the middlemen to make the profit while we kill our own local production. The supply chain is very severely hurt in this country.
You're going to have to define we for me.
We means we? All of us who are out buying. Today, I got to the point now that I go to a store and I asked every person in many stores that I shop, already knows that I'm an American-made purchaser. I'm looking for American-made. And I want to bring up that conversation. What, is there anything that you see on your supply list that is American-made? And most of the time they say, no, our supply list doesn't have anything like that. I say, but it is available at the store half a mile from here. But it's not on your supply chain.
I've got a question for
because you're Penn Hardware and not Lowe's. Lowe's doesn't want it in their store, but Penn Hardware will have it.
I got a question for Larkin.
I want to ask Mark. Okay, Mark, you ask the question, then I'll ask.
Well,
first,
a question: did you get your gifts?
I did.
Okay. Just before we start wrestling about Walmart. So I'm glad you got them. We figured that
thank
out.
Thank you very much.
Found you. We found you. No problem. I got another gift coming for you, but you'll laugh when you get it. The other thing, so we became the throwaway world. We wanted more crap in our houses at cheap prices. We need a culture change. I try to lead with quality, where instead of a $10 hose, you buy the $50 hose, but it lasts you 10, 20 years. So we know we lost that. Walmart comes along. Larkin's absolutely right. We negotiate. We try to get more sales. We try to get better margins by, getting lower costs, and we can pass it on to our customers, be competitive. The problem is we care more. We care about our country more. The middle class that broke down, the middle class that went away, we kind of get the process. They got to get educated, be consistent, but they don't. They care about making money and keeping portfolios open and looking good, and that's what they do. So I'm asking Walmart to have more care. Hey, push. I'll pay a little more. We've got the volume. We've got the price, and we're selling a million shirts. I'll put a couple shirt companies in our country, and let's make our shirts here. So I'm asking them to care about the country they live in more. And 50-50 fair trade. But that's what they're missing to me, Larkin, is the care. But it is business. You're right. But I want them to care about the country they live in.
But that business is killing our workers.
So, Mark, this will allow you to answer my question back to you. I'm going to ask you to get 1,000 of your suppliers, made in America, truly made in America people, and sit in a very, very large room somewhere and try to figure out how do we get this business back. What is it that we can do strategically to get our customers to go, And I have a couple suggestions, but I'd love to hear what you think the answer to that is.
Well, a lot of things. It's funny when we're 11 years this April 3rd, Larkin, in business made in America. I don't know where the time went. We're up to almost 10,000 products. We only had 500 plus vendors. The pandemic, as we tried to wake up the country, Fox and Fred's World News, everybody did a little portion. Again, news could wake up the country and really explain what's happened over 40 years, where the supply chains break down, where, everything went. But I think the pandemic it woke up the country, showed them the dependency on China that we have because of the safety and health issues and the products that made the N95 masks, the ventilators. We've proved Ford, Chevy, and Dodge could get together and make an item. We've done a lot, and that was big. I mean, that's big stuff. We've got to get the want back, so we've got to get people to want it, do their homework, and care enough and understand enough why buying made in America, why buying a product from your country puts more money in your economy of your country. So it's very hard to do to get somebody to slow down, don't be lazy, take a look at what you're buying and care enough to buy something made in their country and understand why and how that puts your neighbor back to work. So very difficult, Larkin, but doable. But it does come down to care and want, and money can't be your God, and the portfolio can't mean as much. You got to care about your children's future. So there's a lot to it, Larkin. Is there an easy answer? No. I hope I'm part of a solution.
Mark, there's a very good what you said is correct. And I'd like to see some of these people go on national television, go on C-SPAN.
Well, C-SPAN. They won't do it at that level. If they did, they would change this a lot quicker.
I think we have to start pushing for them to do it at this level.
Let Larkin answer. I want to hear Larkin.
My answer is My answer is the only way you're going to win a karate fight is by being a better karate fighter than the person your competition. The only way you're going to win a boxing match is not using kickboxing because it's illegal. You got to learn how to box. So what I would suggest to a conglomeration of American-made businesses is the most, what word would I put to it, is a very tactical set of commercials. And everybody's going to have to pitch in for thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to make an appeal to the American public. They're not hearing it properly from anybody else. Nobody's saying anything to them. So now all of a sudden you're running this huge campaign that has these has the commercial people going, well, maybe I will look and see. Maybe I will understand that by buying a T-shirt made in America, I'm helping Joe next door.
Right.
And if he buys, right. And if he buys groceries grown on an American farm, and then he's helping the guy that lives on the other side of him.
Yeah, you can connect the dots for him. You
have to.
Could you imagine if Walmart, with the billions of profit they make, just said, you know what, we're going to do 50% of our business, we want to make it in America, but we're going to help manufacturers, we're going to help them put their plants up, we're going to invest in them and make it easy for manufacturers. Could you imagine the biggest retailer in the universe, like you said, took their money and profits and really invested in America and said, you know, we get it, we understand it, you run this marketing campaign, and then you invest and help manufacturers maybe put up their buildings and help them actually do it, make products in America.
You're so right.
Yep.
And I can't believe how good that response was. You know, Larkin, when Walmart opened, I'm sure you walked into Walmart, and did you look around at what was available? How much of it?
I sold to Walmart for 9 years.
You sold for 9 years to Walmart, and what percentage of their items was made in America at that time?
In the category I was in, which was petrochemical retailing, you know, pumps, gas pumps, tanks, piping, breakaway valves, and all the stuff necessary to sell gasoline, all of it was made. And some of the valving and stuff was made in Mexico, but that particular market is not one that Asia had penetrated yet.
Okay, so I would say, would you say that at least 60% of the stuff that was in the Walmart store itself for sale was American made?
Now?
No, before, when you were selling.
I have no idea. I genuinely don't know. I mean, we all have seen this coming on. And Walmart's tasked with the chore of making a profit.
Right.
But I agree completely with Mark that it doesn't have to be such a ridiculously hard-driving feature of their mission that they can't say what's good for Walmart and is good for America is good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I applaud Mark's effort. My idea goes nowhere if there isn't a Mark Handel, because I don't know that the men, even the organization, our friend in Washington, D.C., Mark, you talk to him all the time. I think he's on your program.
Oh, Scott Ball?
Scott.
Ball with the...
I don't know that they do anything but appear on radio. I mean, they don't.
A lot of lip service. And, you know, we want action.
But that's okay. That's what he does. But I mean, it's time for a campaign.
You know,
it's
Mark,
time for somebody to sit down and explain this to our Americans who unfortunately are almost led around by the nose by the media.
You know, Mark, and Larkin, would you say this is the time for investment firms to go out of their way to start looking at popular products mostly purchased in America and start making them here and ask maybe even Americans to invest in those companies to help them grow?
And Larkin's right with the media campaign. So Clyde and Sonda Strickland, 2013, put $2 million into an idea that Clyde has, let's make this American-made movie and educate the people, and then turn it into a curriculum and teach it. He was on the right trail. That needed to be picked up. Fox wouldn't pick it up. People picked it up. It went into all the theaters, but it wasn't picked up enough on a national level. That, if it was carried out, that same plan, Larkin, is what we're talking about on a national level, everybody behind it.
Yep, I agree. And I think it's time for the Mark Andels of the world to sit down with the Scotts, you're going to have to help me again. Scott Hall, and say, listen, we have to change our tact here. We have to do this differently than we have been, because all we're doing is sitting here licking our wounds and bitching and complaining about what's happened instead of doing something very positive.
Larkin, on point with that, you know, our new president comes on board. Within a week, he signs the executive order, strengthening Buy American provisions, ensuring the future of America is made in America. Okay, you know, he did that. Now what happened? You know, same as Walmart saying, we're putting $350 billion in. I remember when they said they're putting $50 billion in. I don't know if it happened. I don't know. We always wanted a report card on things, but President Biden gets that off his desk. Okay, but what happens after that? Is it lip service? We want to see action.
Well, the problem with all these good ideas, Mark, is they sound great at the moment. They get people clapping. Yay! But the problem is this. If there's no American-made products in that particular category of need, you have to go to what's available.
And, Mike, let's talk about you asked for tires for your friend.
Oh, you know, yes, I'm glad you brought that up.
On tires. So we manufacture trailers, probably 200 a year. We're not huge. But we ran Cooper forever. I ran it since I was a kid on my international scouts. But then we got a customer a couple of years ago complained, hey, the tires on your trailer only last 6 months. Now he's putting more miles on. It used to last me 2 years. But then you start reading, well, Cooper, like Rich, you said, well, they're made overseas. Well, you know, they're a tire. You know, rubber trees aren't in the United States of America. But anyways, the rubber is an issue to find. But then the Cooper that are made here, they do last 2 to 4 times more. Goodyear. I run a Goodyear tire on my truck. The Goodyears I run are USA. I do pay more. But they're out there, and they are a better tire. They'll last you 2 to 4 times. It's an example right in itself on quality. But very hard to find.
Exactly. Mark, that's a perfect example. That's a perfect example.
And it's a lesson in economics is what it is, Mark.
Right.
They're not asking you to just spend money for like and kind products. Made in America is better because we built it.
And Larkin was mad at me. Long. You know, why these tires only last 6 months? I used to, your tire, two years, well, they're not made in America. Because the quality engineering, it looks like a tire, but, you know, it's not the same cake batter, but, you know, it looks like a tire. It's got tread on it. It's just not the same quality and, you know, care that goes into our tires.
Well, you know,
I don't want to be critical of the president either, but listen, his Buy American made for his Defense Department, the largest single purchaser in the world is the United States government. And at SCORE,
over 50%.
What he put in place has been in place forever.
Right.
But
the waivers again, they form go around all these things.
That's they read the law and then they go, oh, wait a minute, we need 150,000 tons of plate steel to redo this bridge. And the stuff from China, it's half the price. I'm sorry, guys.
Right. You know, Larkin, they've been talking about modernizing their computers in the school system. They wanted better, screens and all that. And everybody agreed, the school board, everything was wonderful. And then the people said, well, naturally, we have to get the best quality made. And guess what? There's no screens for the computers made in the United States of America.
So what do you do? You could sit there and agree to a thousand things.
If it's not available there, you're standing still just looking at somebody else talk.
But we want our president to take it further with Scott Paul, American Manufacturing. We want them to say, okay, we want the steel on our bridges. Let's help a new mill get off the ground.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And we have to do this. Yes, we're going to pay a little more. Now is the time, after what we learned from this pandemic, to rebuild the supply chains and our government to assist with tax advantages, whatever it takes to get more mills, steel, aluminum. Now, we've got to get more self-sufficient.
And Larkin, you know
as well as I do that it's not only opening new mills, it's updating the ones we have.
Right.
A lot of them just aren't efficient. And they need new furnaces and new furnace treatments. And American steel companies were going, wait a minute, you want us to invest a whole ton of money in an infrastructure that you're not going to support? I don't think so.
Well, you know, I have to tell you this. This is very interesting, and you'll like this a lot. Two times this past month, in March, somebody was trying to give us a presentation about Xeroxing and, you know, different machines for copiers. I, of course, took the Zoom and I went on with the two people. I listened very carefully. And then I said to them after 20 minutes into the presentation, I said, everything that we purchase in the last few years must be made in America. And there was silence, total silence on a copier machine.
I want to give an example on efficiency. And Larkin, you've been in the petroleum industry. I build for a company called Derrick Manufacturing. Their customers are Halliburton, BP, and ExxonMobil. I've been with them for 25 years. Right now we're in a very slow down time. But here's a point. When you look at oil, people all said, oh, the barrel of oil is this much per barrel. Well, it isn't. It's U.S. rig count, usrigcount.com. You can go on Google and Larkin do it, Mike, and you'll see how many rigs are around the United States. So say there used to be, 5 years ago, 2,200 rigs when we were working. And then, you know, then we got efficient, you know, Donald Trump, the Keystone Pipeline, let's get efficient, which made sense, common sense. And then when all the rigs were back up, there was only 1,000. Why? Well, like Larkin, they applied the new technology. They were going to almost make gas right at the rigs. And this is what happened from 2,200 rigs, downturn, then back up to the top, energy-producing country, but only 1,000 rigs were needed because they applied the technology and the efficiency, Larkin. Same thing you want to happen. We need to happen with everything here.
Absolutely. And you know what else? I have to add this into this conversation. They've been discussing many, many programs over the last year to help America's businesses. And I've mentioned this to two congressional people I know very well. And I said, you're talking about giving more unemployment, PPP, you know, all this stuff. I said, but at no time, and it's very concerning, I would go back to your providers, Mark, and let them know, because that is really a disgrace.
Second run, I can't. I'm just like, you really?
No, you got to do it. But here's the thing. They're talking about all these things to give away, but at no point in the conversation, Larkin, and I'm going to ask you, you're a great observer, have they discussed how we're going to bring back more businesses and more jobs into this country so that we can get through this pandemic and the aftermath of the pandemic faster? When I mentioned it to one congressman, he said to me, well, it's two different issues. I said, no, it's not. If you're going to give to something, if you're going to build a bridge, you're going to build a tunnel, that's great. Those are already, you know, things that you're... How about building more industries where people can go to a job and have a job? Yes.
Mike, I'm with you, but it's not giving out more money. You're giving out unemployment and you get $300. We can't get workers. You're going to give another $1,400 checkout. Really, what are they going to do with it? Okay, washer, dryer, or blow it. I mean, it's not giving these little money. It's creating a job that they can earn a living with.
Yes, correct. and a lifelong skill that you'll be able to support yourself,
you
not be living hand to mouth. That's the problem. In America, you know, it got too easy. Well, if I lost my job, then I'll have to go to mom and dad or such a gene or something. So always some way to get out of the situation instead of creating a better way to be able to have skills that are sellable. We got to get the jobs back. Yes. We got to get the people, and we are getting more and more people interested in the American-made movement. The problem is they're reporting to me they can't find American-made. How is it possible? In America, you can't find American-made.
Enough people don't care enough to.
So somebody from foreign countries who are better salespeople than all of our people on this side of the...
Let's hear what Larkin's got to comment on this.
Well, I'm going to go back to Ronald Reagan. Everybody looks to the government for a solution, when in reality, government is the problem.
Right.
They're not doing anything to build the economy. Now, I believe in trickle-down economics. I truly do. And when you give $1,400 to a guy that doesn't have a penny, he's going to feed the economy a little bit. This guy isn't feeding the economy. He's paying his rent. He's paying his electric bill. He's paying his... So the government isn't doing anything but sustaining life for its citizens during a pandemic.
They're you said saying, the right words, okay, Larkin. Sustaining here, life, but not adding a future. Very well said.
Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to get out of this mess. We're going to do this and this and this, and we're going to help businesses here. We're going to help individuals here, but we're going to get the country back. The business of America is business.
And the business of America must be urging its people to get a good education, get a job skill, and make America great. Period.
And buy American. And Larkin, I want a selfie in that gift. I want to see you in that.
Okay.
God bless all of you. Thanks for tuning in. You can hear a rebroadcast by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. And if you have Alexa, you should be able to go to Alexa Play American Workers Radio Podcast, and it'll come up anytime. Until next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Stay well and be happy.
All right, guys, have a great week.